You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast. Looking ahead this week to, of course, a slightly one-sided affair if you're looking at the betting. Of course, Vasyl Lomachenko taking on Ant Crawler at the Staples Centre in Los Angeles. That the big fight this week coming up on Saturday night. Sam Norris here, stepping in for Lee Phelps on this week's edition of the podcast. And joining me on the line, as ever, is Steve Bunce. Buncey, how are you?
I'm good. And I'm not sure if I should be good, because we're about to talk about a fight with some of the most extreme odds that we've ever talked about on this show. We go back to when you were about 4 years of age. We go back 13 years on this pod, but I don't think we've ever had a fight that we've discussed with odds like you're going to reveal now. Quite astounding.
We'll get into the fight in greater detail later on, but 1-100 for Lomachenko before we fully discuss that fight. Quite incredible, as you say, with some of the shortest odds you've ever seen for a title fight.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, every now and again, Lee and I uncover one that's 90 or 80, but it's the third fight on the bill and it's thrown in as a filler. It's not the main event, it's not the main attraction, and it's not the first fight we talk about. So in that sense, this is, you know, we're in unique territory here. And the 1-100, you know, I see what they're doing, I see where they're going, but against any lightweight champion of the last 30 odd years, you could throw Crawler in and I would argue that you'd be nowhere near those odds. You might be 1-15, 1-17, 1-20 if he was fighting a peak, say, Shane Mosley 30 years ago, but 1-100. But at the same time, I understand why it's 1-100, because this guy, Lomachenko, I mean, he makes grown men, really good fighters, quit, makes them cry. And yet, people don't get that impression when they look at him. He's a deceptive-looking little beast. He really is.
Absolutely. We'll talk more Lomachenko and Crawler in due course, but a couple of other topics up for discussion. First of all, Dillian White's been in the news once again, Buncey, arguing that he is every bit as good as the likes of Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury in the heavyweight division. What do you make of his claims that he's their level?
Well, he was talking to me. He did a Five Live thing with me for about 30 minutes earlier this week, and he said, look, the reason why I turned down $4 million, he says it was $4 million he turned down against Joshua and not $5 million. And if he tells you it's $4 million, then the burden's on everybody else to prove him wrong, and that ends up in court. So we're going to go with his $4 million. He said he turned down $4 million because he believes he's worth more than $4 million. Now, I don't think he thinks he's worth $15 million. Because I pointed out that that's what Fury had been offered. And he said, no, man, I'll take less than that. So somewhere between 4 and 15 is Dillian's asking price. And it's a really interesting thing because it seems to have divided people on social media who say, 4 million? God, it's a fortune, take it. Well, of course it's a fortune, which Dillian says in the interview with me. He holds his hands up. He says, I know that's a lot of money to some people, but in my business, in my profession, and where I am now, I don't think it's enough money. And I can see what he's getting at. If the offer had been, say, 7 or 8 million, then I think this weekend, as in this Saturday, that was when he was meant to fight outdoors at Wembley against Anthony Joshua. That's a fight we were told was made, done and dusted. We were told that was made in October, November, December, January. We waited for it to be announced in February, before Joshua went for Baby Miller and the fight in New York in June. And Dillian White was holding out for money he believed he deserved. And I've got to be honest with you, I can see his point. I know people are arguing, but if he takes the $4 million bunts and he wins like he thinks he can, then he gets X and Y. He does get X and Y, but he believes that he's worth more now. And I can't deny any man or woman asking for top dollar for a job, top dollar, demanding top dollar for what they feel they're worth. So basically, we're no nearer. We're no nearer to seeing White fight Joshua, White Fight Fury, White Fight Wilder, Wilder Fight Fury, Fury Fight Joshua, Joshua Fight Wilder. We're not going to be able to see any of these fights. And I'll tell you what, don't hold your breath, because I'd be shocked if any of them take place by May of next year. They're all making too much money, not breaking sweat. Why should they take a risk? It's terrible, but it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really interesting points there. Of course, the money, as you say, whilst it's a stratospheric amount to mere mortals, it's all relative in their game, and he's got to take what he thinks he's worth.
Absolutely he has. If Dillian White holds out like he's doing, and if Dillian White gets $9 million for fighting Joshua in October and he wins, then he will have had $5 million extra, or $5 million quid extra, rather. If he holds out and he only gets $1 million more in September, then he'll still be better off. You see, think about it. I mean, as long as he doesn't hold out and get less money in some sort of purse bid, which won't happen, Dillian White has got every right to hold back. The other way to look at it is that odd things can happen. He took a risk last year, Dillian. He had three fights that were basically 50-50. If he'd have lost any of them, he would have dropped from the pecking order. He had the best 2018 of any heavyweight in the world. He fought three men that were better than any other men, any other heavyweights fought in a consecutive series of fights. And he still didn't get his world title fight. I understand why he feels it's his turn, why he has a right to get a fight, and let's hope he gets it, and let's hope he proves everybody wrong, and let's hope he doesn't take a fight in June, lacks motivation, and blows everything for a tiny purse whilst he's waiting. Let's hope he gets $10 million and everyone leaves happy after a barnstormer against Joshua in September. It's not going to happen, but let's hope it does.
Indeed. Fingers crossed the miracle can happen. On to some of this week's fights then. And we start with an eagerly anticipated unification bout in Atlantic City on Saturday night between two undefeated fighters in the shape of Clarissa Shields and Christina Hammer. Shields unbeaten in 8 fights so far. 8 fights, 8 wins, 2 by way of knockout, and she'll be putting up the WBA, WBC and IBF middleweight belts on the line. Takes on the German Christina Hammer, who's undefeated after 25 fights with 24 wins and 1 no contest. 11 of those 24 wins coming by way of knockout, and she'll have the WBO belt on the line. This has been touted as the biggest female bout in history. Clarissa Shields has announced this week that she hopes this fight will cement her position as the greatest female boxer of all time. Before we get fully stuck in to your thoughts on this bout, and I'll give you a spin through the betting as well. Clarissa Shields is 1-3 favourite. The draw is 16-1 and Christina Hammer is 9-4. Before we talk about those odds and how you think the fight will go, can anyone claim to be one of the all-time greats after just 9 fights?
Well, she might have a claim, a stake on it. I don't think so at the moment, and I'll tell you for why. I think there's, in modern history, let's say the last 30-odd years, there's been a series of women that have done their business. One of them was a woman called Christy Martin, who was around for years and years and fought on Mike Tyson undercards. Another one was a woman called Lucia Riker, and another one was a woman called Ann Wolfe. I'm not including Laila Ali in that little pack, because I think that Laila Ali picked and chose. She was a little bit careful with her selections, but nevertheless, she's right on the edge of that. I think even if Shields beats Hammer and beats her convincingly, I think she'll still be underneath the top three I mentioned there. But it would make her the biggest thing in women's boxing at the moment. More than that, this is a super fight, not just in the fact that they're both unbeaten, not just in the fact that there's loads of belts involved, but it's a main event in a traditional boxing venue, the Boardwalk in Atlantic City. And it's a big event, and it's an event that's capturing a lot of publicity. I think people are looking at this and saying, you know, this is a real fight. This is a fight we're talking about, a proper fight. And in that sense, it can only be good for women's boxing. I just think that Shields and Hammer, there's a bit of a pressure on the pair of them to put on something here. They're both capable of fiddling their way and not getting involved and taking a points decision. Their entire careers basically have been won that way. Shields talks a great fight, and you look at her in the gym and you watch her at press conferences and you go, whoa, I bet she's awesome, which she is. But she's only stopped two of her eight, and the last four have gone the full 10. So she gives out this different image. And Hammer is not a great banger, but compared to Clarissa Shields, she is, percentage-wise, she's stopped more people in her 24 wins. The interesting thing here, and not many people are picking up on this, is the height. The Hammer will be about 4 inches, nearly 4 inches taller, plus she fights tall. So she uses her reach. And this might be the first time that Clarissa Shields, first time, she has to think a little bit. The only time Clarissa Shields has ever lost, amateur or pro, she won two Olympic gold medals. The only time she ever lost was to a very, very tall English woman called Savannah Marshall at the Women's World Amateur Championships in 2012. And that's because Marshall jabbed her silly. And that's the blueprint for beating Clarissa Shields. She's hard, she's tough, don't have a fight with her, boxer, use a big ring and throw a big jab. I think this is an interesting fight. And we'll show the bookies. Look at those odds. They're not bad, are they? We'll have that in a world title fight every single weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly so. 1-3, 9-4, a good deal, more competitive than the fight we're going to talk about in a moment or two. I get the feeling that you're a bit tempted by Christina Hammer then, given the height advantage.
I am tempted by Christina Hammer. As I say, most people look at Clarissa Shields without looking at her record and assume she's some kind of banger, you know, a reincarnation of Marvin Hagler. Well, she's not. She's a fast, slick boxer. Now, she could get to Hammer and break Hammer down. Of course she could. Anything can happen in a boxing ring. But I've got to be honest with you. I'm just swaying. I think it's a tight fight. It's a 10-round fight. I'd be stunned if it isn't 10 rounds. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's fair, if Hammer were to nick it. But I'd be stunned if it's easy stoppage either way. I'd be stunned if one of them stops the other in the first couple of rounds. And I'd be stunned if it goes 10 and someone's a wide, wide winner. So I'm just favouring Hammer on points, but only just.
Okay, Hammer then to outpoint Shields potentially in that bout coming up Saturday night in Atlantic City. Onto the main event this week then, which takes place again Saturday night at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Vasyl Lomachenko is 1-100 to see off Manchester's Ant Crawler, who's 20-1. The draw is 33-1. Already got an enhanced odds market on the website for you ahead of this one. That's Lomachenko to win in rounds 1-3. That was 7-2, and that is out to 9-2 if you think Lomachenko is going to get this one done early. Obviously, Lomachenko has risen through the professional ranks rapidly. He's had 13 professional fights, 12 wins, 1 defeat, and 9 wins by knockout. A dual Olympic gold winner, hundreds and hundreds of wins as an amateur. His amateur record reads a little bit like Pelé's reported goal-scoring record. You almost can't believe the numbers in there. Many people, I think Lee Phelps is included in this, people regard him as the best boxer on planet Earth at this moment. He's officially ranked the best pound-for-pound fighter by a number of outlets. Before we talk about the fight and before we talk about Crawler, Lomachenko, this guy is very much the real deal, Bunty. As I say, hundreds of amateur wins and has risen through the professional ranks very quickly, already winning belts at three different weight divisions.
Yeah, three different weight divisions, and apart from his second fight when he went for a world title against a really good experienced fighter, and he got just outpointed. I thought he lost, and he did lose, but I thought he lost against a guy called Orlando Salido, which was a terrific risk they took. It didn't work. He hasn't looked back since, mostly stoppages since then, and stopping really good fighters. Jorge Linares, who twice beat Crawler, he stopped him in the 10th. A guy called Rigondo and a guy called Nicholas Waters, who were both undefeated. He forced them both to quit, one in the 6th, one in the 7th. I mean, made them quit. They had no success. He was taking them apart, and he made them quit. Well, it's a very small book, the book of great unbeaten fighters who have quit in world title fights. I can assure you there's not very many entries in that book. Mm. And two of the entries in that book were put in there by Lomachenko. He's slick, he's smart, he's fast. He's also realised that lightweight, that he's not going to move up into any more weight divisions. He's gone featherweight, super feather, lightweight. That's it, lightweight. In fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he drops down to super feather. But he certainly won't go up anymore because he's realising that some of those guys out there are very big. Crawler is big. He's a big, solid, lightweight Crawler. And he's brave and he's fast and he's smart and he takes a good shot and he does all of those things. But then so did Rigondo, so did Waters, so did Linares. And is Crawler better than those three? No, he's not. And they were all stopped. you make a case for Crawler because you have to make a case for every fighter in every fight. You make a case for Crawler and it's dependent on Lomachenko carrying an injury. People might be upset with me saying this. It's dependent on Lomachenko coming in, having cut some corners in the gym. It's dependent on Lomachenko taking his eye off the prize, maybe getting cut. All of those things. Hey, and you know what? Some of the biggest shocks in boxing history have happened because one, two, or three of those factors have come into play. So it can happen. It does happen. It's not going to happen on Friday night at the Staples Center because Lomachenko is too much of a professional and there isn't a single rumor coming from his camp. Crawler's going to give it absolutely everything he's got and he's just going to find that as good as he thinks Lomachenko is, and I was with Anthony a week ago, his last day in this country, as good as he thinks Lomachenko is, he's actually better. And what's more, and this is the thing that people have overlooked with Lomachenko, is he's a really hurtful puncher. And that's the thing that gets people. That's why people quit, because he hurts them and he hurts them and he hurts them. And Crawler has got no shortage of guts and brains. You know, we're talking here about Crawler, who won and owned a proper world title, who went 24 rounds with Linares. And we're talking about whether or not he can get out of the fifth or sixth round. That's how good Lomachenko is. Too good, too sharp, too forceful, and he's on his way to other things. And I don't think he'll play around, and I think he'll do the business by about round five or six at the latest.
Now, Lomachenko to win early enough then. Round 1 is 16-1, round 2 12-1, round 3 is 10-1, 9-1 for round 4. Round 5 is in the betting at 8-1 if you fancy Lomachenko to get this done relatively early. You mentioned there that you were with Ant Crawler last week. I've got to ask you first of all before I ask my main question. Did you enjoy your cryotherapy session?
Well, listen, I went to minus about 130 odd degrees and the guy that was there said, Steve, you're almost like a superhuman. You're almost like a superhuman. You're prepared to go to places that very few men or women can do. And I'm looking in your face and I'm taking your temperature. He said I was abnormal. Yeah, I loved it. It's very scary, though, because it's 3 minutes. It's 180 seconds. And you go from minus one down to a minus 120, 130. That's hefty. Crawler did a double dip. I only did the one dip. I only went in once. It is quite, and you do feel wildly invigorated afterwards. Like you're flying, you're bouncing off ceilings. You're a real pain to be around with people moving at the normal speed, I can assure you. So it's very interesting, yeah. But very cold.
Yes, I can imagine. The question I was going to ask then, having been with Crawler, what's his frame of mind like in the build-up to this fight? Obviously, he's come in and taken the fight after the original opponent pulled out. Many people perhaps don't think that he's worth a shot at these belts. He obviously does. He knows what a massive uphill battle is facing him. He knows that better than anyone. What was his frame of mind coming into this fight?
Well, he deserves this just like other guys that have gone in for world title fights that have been massive underdogs. And there's a whole list of Brits, and he's at the top of that list. He's fearless, Ant Crawler. He's not stupid. He knows how good Lomachenko is. He's been a fan of Lomachenko. But he's also known, and he told me this last week, he's known for about 18 months that he could end up fighting him. So he's not grown too friendly with him. He's not allowed himself to be too in awe of him. He knows how big a shock it will be. He knows how uphill it will be. He knows he'll have to use every single thing he's ever picked up in the ring, amateur or pro, to stand a chance. So many things have got to be lined up, aligned behind him as he makes the walk from the changing room to the ring. But he's a pro, and Joe Gallagher, his trainer, they're pros. They know this is a ridiculously hard task. And they're not saying they've seen any weaknesses or flaws. No, not at all. They're going in to put their best set of skills against the best set of Lomachenko can offer, and they're going to use heart and guts and just see if they can pull it off. Listen, he's not foolish. He knows he needs, in addition to everything, he needs a little bit of luck as well. He knows that. But I'll tell you now, he won't freeze, and I'll tell you now, he won't quit. And I can also tell you now, there's at least a dozen men that have fought for world titles in the last 10 or so years who really had less chance, even though the odds weren't the same, they had less chance. Collar's been a world champion. He's been a British champion. He's been a great servant of British boxing. And he's taking this massive risk in what could be his last fight.
Okay. In summary then, at the Staples Centre this weekend, is there going to be a fairy tale?
No, there's not going to be a fairy tale. And I think Ant will be beaten by about six rounds. He might end up finding himself pulled out by Joe Gallagher if he's four or five rounds down. And he won't thank Gallagher, but if he's four or five rounds down and he's tried everything and you just sense the Lomachenko stepping on the gas, Big Joe would go, you know what? We prepared 100%. We came here 100% and we gave it 100%. And nobody can ask any more other than that.
Okay, don't forget to check out all the betting here at William Hill ahead of that fight coming up this weekend. Vasyl Lomachenko taking on Ant Crawler, where Lomachenko is 1 to 100. Crawler in the betting at 20 to 1. Loads of different ways to get involved, though, if you fancy Lomachenko, but perhaps are not keen to get involved at that very thin price. Then there are opportunities to do so on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Bunty, thanks so much for that. A great pleasure to chat, as always, and enjoy it this weekend.
Thank you very much. Speak to you next week. Thank you. Visit gambleaware.co.uk.